I hope you'll listen, not because of me, but it's what I'm saying. You know, the truth is what matters. And boy, we're living in a day when it is not popular. You know, we talk about that, and I've heard it all through the years, but I've heard them when the house was full talk about how everybody hated the truth. How is it when the house ain't full, when nobody will listen? When they put you in a hole in the ground and say, we ain't listening to you, you still believe the truth? You still gonna press on? Not many do, I'll tell you that for sure. That's what I've noticed about this deal. You know, there's a lot of people listening, but you see how many will come and cast in their lot with us, you see. Everybody hears, and most all of them know it's the truth. I don't ever have anybody confront me and say, you're lying. Nobody ever says that. Nobody ever argues. Nobody ever says, that ain't right what you're saying. Nobody. All I hear is, that's right. That's right. Well, if it's right, why don't you get on board? And if it's right, why don't you get on board here this morning? Let's go to Psalm 37:37. That ought to be easy to remember, 37:37. Still thinking about manhood, being a man. Very important subject. Most important right now. Most unpopular, but most important. And by the way, that's just another little thing. It's not so unpopular. That first message I preached on manhood has been the most listened to message so far in such a short time. And we've had over 700 and some visits on the website. I mean, visits in the last 2 weeks. Well, what's it been, 3 weeks since I did? But when I checked it was just over 2 weeks. And, you know, plus the other deal. So there ain't no telling how many people listened to that message. And so people are interested. People realize the need here. Do you this morning? I'd like to get a hold of some of you and just shake you and say, man, listen to me. What is the matter with you? You know, how in the world? You boys, you young boys that are so apathetic about all this matter, what is the matter with you? Tell you what's going to happen to you, boy. You're going to get a rude awakening. And these words are going to haunt you one of these days. Psalm 37:37. You better listen while you got a chance. Because it's very likely that there ain't never going to be another man tell you what I'm going to tell you about all this. That's right. Everybody thinks it and they have opinions, but to just pin you against the wall and say, boy, listen to me. That ain't going to happen. This is your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and you better avail yourself of it. Mark the perfect man. There are some, huh? I wonder what about that. You know what that means, Mark? That means take notice. When you see it, you better pay attention. Mark the perfect man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. In other words, boys and girls, watch people. And watch how they live. Watch what they are. Watch how they conduct their lives and what they live by. And look to the end and see how they turn out. The rest of that, the next verse says, but the end of the wicked is bad, bad business. Psalm 37:37, the next verse says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. I always told my kids that for years. Point it out to them, people that are messing up in church and who are going the wrong way, and say, kids, watch them. Look at them, because you're going to see what happens to that. That road leads to this place every time. And when they see it lead to that place, it convinces them pretty well. Mark the perfect man. Look for him. The marks of a man. Lord, help us this morning. Pray you bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. A man's ledger does not tell what he is or what he's worth. count what is in man, not what is on him, if you would know what he's worth, whether rich or poor. Henry Ward Beecher said that. That's not what a man is. And that's not what marks a man, is his ledger, what he's got in the bank, what he owns. Contemporaries appreciate the man rather than the merit, but posterity will regard the merit rather than the man. You're not going to be remembered for you, but for what you stood for. The merit is what's going to be remembered about you. If ain't nothing to you, you're going to be forgotten. Cut off. Remembered no more. But if there is something to you, you will be remembered for that. Don't you understand how real that is? And it's not what he has, or even what he does, which expresses the worth of a man, but what he is. And there's another one I was going to read at the end of it, but I want to read it right now. One cannot always be a hero, but one can always be a man. Remember that. It's not what you do. It's not what you accomplish. It's not what you gain or anything like that. It's what you are. And then Robert E. Lee. I think he was one of the greatest men who ever lived. And not because of him, but because of what he stood for. His merit. The character that he had. What controlled and directed his life, what he lived by, is what made him a great man. He said private and public life are subject to the same rules. Truth and manliness are two qualities that will carry you through this world much better than policy or tact of expediency, compromise, or other words that were devised to conceal a deviation from a straight line. What's going to carry you through? Truth and manliness. Not anything that's deceitful, that covers you a fudging and a hedging on the truth. Anchored somewhere. Hold of something solid. That's the mark of a man. He's governed. The thing about a man is he is governed. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's under control. There is something on him. There are reins on his life. Reins on his mind. Reins on his heart. Reins on his physical strength. He's under control. He's not out of control. There's something that is governing him. That's the mark of a man. You'll find it in every man, every great man that ever lived on this earth, every great man you read about in the Bible. You'll find that mark predominant over everything else in his life. He is governed by something outside of himself, not by his lust, not by his ambitions, not by his aggressiveness or his force or his physical strength. That ain't what makes a man. Well, the mark of a man, and if we're going to mark the perfect man, you're always going to find the perfect man to be governed, under control. Jesus came to this earth, and that centurion stood there, and I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit here, but that centurion said to him that day, I am a man also under authority, like unto thee. I mean, he recognized in Jesus that he was under authority. Jesus always acted under the authority of the Father. He always deferred to Him. He never commanded and went about in His own will. He came not to do His own will, but the will of Him that sent Him. That's the perfect man. You better mark him. Better realize that's the mark of a man. It's not all about him. Life's not about him. I mean, he's about something greater than himself. His life is about, his strength, his opinions are based upon something greater than himself. Outside of himself. He's not living according to his lusts. He's not living according to his own selfishness. He's living according to whatever it is that governs his life. To govern means to direct and control. To govern means to regulate by authority. To keep within the limits prescribed by law or sovereign will. Govern. Govern. To be governed. It means to influence, to direct, to control, to restrain, to keep in due subjection as to govern the passions or temper, to direct, to steer, to regulate the course or motion of a ship. Govern. You govern a ship with a rudder and somebody at the wheel. To exercise authority, that means, that's what govern means. To administer the laws, that's what govern means. A man is governed. It's the mark of a man to be governed. A man's not a wild thing that just runs wild and does what he pleases, whoever he, and runs over everybody. That's not the mark of a man. The mark of a man is one who is governed. He's under control. He's not wild. This is the key thing to manhood. And a man must have a governor, else he'll be a wild man and degraded to the level of an animal. Even if he wears a suit and a tie and he's the richest man in the world, if he is his own self-made man, he ain't nothing. He ain't a man. No, sir. He's certainly not the perfect man. You guys better not make your mark. You better not make your hero. You better not make your example. You better not mark the men that are not governed. All these sports heroes and all these celebrities and all these singers and all these people of the world, they're not governed by anything except their lust and their selfishness, obviously. It's what's missing, man. Don't you see? It's what used to be and used to exist and used to be the normal way of teaching boys to be men. It's gone. Now it's every man for himself. Everybody do what's right in your own eyes. Live this life to the fullest. You only go around once. I mean, do what pleases you. Go with the gusto. Yes, sir. Live it up. Get it all for yourself. Don't see no hope, really. I don't see no hope in this day we're living in. Do you? How many of you see any hope? Huh? Look around you. Look around at other people. Who cares? Huh? Look at this young generation. How many of them care? Where do you see? They're all going to be a bunch of slaves and dogs for somebody else. That's what they're going to be. Are there going to be a pile of meat laying on the ground somewhere and a gut pile? That's what they're going to be. Because they won't listen. They can't shake off the drugs of this world, the poison of this philosophy of this world. They can't shake off their numbness of mind from looking at their stupid games and computers and phones and foolishness enough to listen. You see any hope? Buddy, I don't. I'm preparing for the Lord to come back. I'm preparing for myself. Rest of you, just whatever. You've been warned. You've been warned. All right, let's get back to it here. The key thing to manhood is being governed. Man's been given too much for him to handle on his own unless there are reins on him held by other hands. You hear me? Man's made in the image and likeness of God. There's too much to a man to be held under control by his own self. You can't do it. You're not a dog. You're not an animal. There's more to you than that. You got a mind. You got a heart. You got a heart that's set on eternity. God's put eternity in your heart. That's more than a dog's got. That's more than a horse's got or an animal. You look at life and you see things beyond what's there and sensible by your physical senses. You see beyond that. A dog don't. An animal don't. They eat their food and whatever's in front of them right now. They ain't thinking about out yonder or tomorrow or a month from now, but you do.
Because you're a man made in the image and likeness of God. There's more to you. You got more ability, more power, more strength than you even know you got. And you're going to use it for good or you're going to use it for evil. You're going to use it to save your life or you're going to use it to destroy your life and others. And you got way too much power at your hand. Look at what man has done. We've invented and created stuff that we can destroy the world with in 30 minutes. That's what we are. That's what we can do. We can shoot it to stars. We can destroy ourselves. What could we do if all that cleverness and intelligence and ability and power and talent and all that we've got, what if it was used for life and benefit instead of destruction? Do you see what I'm talking about? Mankind, you see what he can do? You, individual, boy, man, you're the same way. There's more at your disposal than you can handle. That's why you've got to have some kind of reins on it that you ain't got your hands on. Somebody has to have the reins on you. And it has to be somebody that knows better than you know. And that's why that God set it up and life it rolls out the way it does. When you're born, you're like that right there. Helpless. You got to have somebody do everything for you. And if that little girl was a boy, she's going to get, he would grow up and he needs somebody to have some reins on him. Boy, I'm telling you, a boy without any control on him is going to wreak havoc everywhere. Oh, yes. Man alive. Man's just been given too much for him to handle on his own, without reins. Man is made in the image and likeness of God, and he has too much potential for good and for bad to be left to his own devices. He'll destroy himself. Anyone can look at our world and see the results when that's the case. When a man doesn't have a governor over his life, over his heart, over his mind. Being governed by an influence apart from oneself that overrules the natural lusts and affections, even of one's own body and self. That's the mark of a man made in God's image. Being governed by an influence apart from yourself. That's the mark of a man. Mark it. Look at people. Examine people. Judge people. When you meet a man, notice that. Mark it. Look for it. See if it's about him or if it's about something bigger than him. If he is about himself or if he's about something bigger than himself. How many do you know? How many men do you know? How many young guys do you know who are living for something bigger than themselves? How many do you know? Where are they? Where are we headed then? There used to be a little hope. Because then in churches, you'd see some young men that would get interested. They'd start listening. That God had called to preach or send to a mission field. Or at least they were determined to live for God and they had some kind of appetite and interest in God and the things of God. But where's it at now? Huh? How many of you guys are interested in God? I don't hear nothing out of you. I don't hear, all that I ever hear is what's just pumped out of you and forced out of you. There ought to be a spring in there springing up if there's anything in there. Else your life's about yourself. Your little old self. And you ain't nothing. You got nothing. And you're going out into a dark, evil world and what's going to happen to you? You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be eat up and you're going to bring down a bunch with you. You need to be a man and you need to get something to live for besides your own self. It's the thing that's lacking and it's the thing that sets a man apart from every other creature that God made. Man lives for a higher cause, a higher purpose. Animals live for whatever is in front of their face. That's right.
stupid chickens. I can pour out the food. They're in the fence right there. I can pour it out right here, open the gate, and they'll run right past it on down. They done forgot. That quick, they forgot. They're stupid. And most people are not any more, they're not any brighter than that. They'll follow their lust just like a stupid animal. What a disgrace and a shame. Man, go look in the mirror. You're made in the image of God. What's the matter with you? There's more to you than that. Man was created to be the head. And he must have direction and purpose if he's going to be the head. If he has no direction and no purpose, it ain't no wonder that he ain't leading. It ain't no wonder that he's marginalized in our society and put to the side and ain't got no part anymore. He's lost his purpose. He don't know what he's about. All he's about is playing with his toys and smoking his weed and drinking his beer and acting stupid. Because he is stupid. If that's all he's got on his mind is sports and games and toys and junk, he can't be ahead of nothing. So somebody's got to take care of stuff. Because he can't. And all he's got to do, he's got all that he needs. God's given him everything he needs to just step up and do it. So there's more to a man than just somebody handing it to you. Nobody hands you manhood. You got to take it. You got to become a man. Ain't that right? It's what we said from the very beginning of this deal. A woman is, but a man must become. You're not a man because you're a male. You got to earn it. And you earn it by stepping up to the plate, boy! If the direction and purpose only consist of his own ambitions and desire, others are not going to respect his authority. You think you're smart right now, and you think you're cute and tough, and you're the big boy now, but your wife, if you ever get one, she ain't going to listen to a word you got to say. She ain't going to have no respect for your headship. You ain't going to be the head, you're going to be the tail! And she'll be the head. Because you ain't got enough sense to step up there and get something over your life besides your own self. A man can't be a head unless he is governed. That what gave Jesus such authority was that he was under authority. And everybody recognized it. A man that goes around demanding that everybody submit to him, ain't nobody going to do that. They might, out of fear, that he might force them for a little bit, but they ain't going to stay under. Well, it's the thing that's lacking in the males when a man cannot be found among a people or a nation. When God came looking for a man in Israel and he couldn't find none, the reason he couldn't find none was because all the men were living after their lusts, chasing their neighbor's wives, being sodomites, off in their drunken junk. Same old thing. That's why God couldn't find a man. He couldn't find a man who was living according to God's will, submitted to God, under the control of God and God's law. He couldn't find one. That's what was missing. He's under authority. Mark the perfect man. He's under authority, which causes others to respect his authority also. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. It's what the centurion, a Roman centurion, said to Jesus. This is why men respond so well to military. I mean, that's why the military works for men. Because there's an order of authority. And it's right. It teaches them. It puts some things in order in their soul. Like, yes, sir, he outranks me. That's a recognizable fact of life. Nobody respects nobody. Nobody respects any authority, any position.
Everything's raised to the ground. Nobody respects the preacher, the Word of God, the vets, like they used to then. You don't realize. Some of you think, that's just him. He just ran in a raven. Yeah, it's just old Mike. No, this is the Word of God. And I'm telling you the truth this morning. And if you don't fear this and respect it and regard it, man, you are messed up. And you will pay. You'll answer to God, not to me. I'm answering to God for what I say. How I say it, what I say to you. You're going to answer to God for how you respond to it. If I'm just, like a lot of these guys I see, man, it ain't nothing to them. They're on a hobby horse. They're just joined this club. And it might be Independent Fundamental Baptists, preachers. And they're like a club. And that's what they're loyal to. They're not loyal to the truth. I see them praising wickedness and calling it righteousness. I see them doing that. But if the truth is delivered to you, buddy, you better recognize it from God. He's under authority. And being the representative of authority gives authority to the one representing it. It's a very simple thing to illustrate to you and to show you that it's true. All the kids, I did them when I was a kid, everybody knows this and recognizes this. Yeah, when you send one of the kids in there, like Anna, will go in and she'll tell Maddie, "You stop doing that." And Maddie's liable to say, "I don't have to do what you say. You're my sister." But if Anna goes in there, I've always told my kids, "You tell them that I said." And when they go in there and they say, "Dad said for you to do this, or for you to stop doing this," that just carries more weight, don't it? Doesn't that work a lot better? See, she's representing authority, under authority. That's the way a man is supposed to be. When he, the head of man, is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. But the man ain't headless. The man, Christ is the head of the man. That's what the Bible says. And God is the head of Christ. Father. The Father is the head of Christ. So nobody's without a head. See? It's under authority. God's the ultimate authority. And all the way down, we regard this order, this rank. Man's not out from under authority. There's nobody in the military that's out from under authority. Everybody answers to somebody. That's why it works. You see? If you just got one little hotshot that's ordering everybody around and demanding and commanding everybody to jump and run and do this and that, ain't nobody got any respect for it if it's just coming from him. If it's just him trying to lord over me. If it's just him trying to impose his will upon me. No, we resist that. But if we recognize that it's him telling us what the authority says. And that's different. Okay. Works that way in the home. Works that way in a marriage. Works that way in a church. Works that way everywhere. Until the man ain't got no head. Until the man ain't got no control. No governor. Nothing controlling his life but his own wants and lusts and desires. Then nothing works. What's wrong with us? The men. Men's what's wrong with us. Men ain't under control. It's every man for himself. It's every man doing as he pleases. Every man thinks because he's stronger, he can just make everybody do what he wants. And he don't have to take nothing off of nobody. And ain't nobody going to tell him nothing about what to do. That's why you boys going to wreck your lives, you that are going to do it. Because you won't listen. You don't think there's no authority over there, over you. Your dad ain't got no sense. He ain't got no right to tell you what to do. You ain't got no respect for him, regard for him. Or anybody else. You're going to do your own thing. You're going to crash and burn is what you're going to do. Guaranteed. So he leads by example. His example of respect for authority over himself. It more than inspires. It almost necessitates the submission of others to that authority.
It really does. I hope you listen. Man, what I said there is just such truth. You lead by example. When a man is under control and he's got a governor, then everybody that's under him, they're going to fall in. Yeah. He doesn't exercise authority based upon his own will, but upon the authority of the one higher than himself. Jesus did that. He left us that example. Mark, the perfect man. He's ruled by principles and established truths that are beyond himself. Mention Robert E. Lee. If you read about him, if you know anything about him, you would understand that. That's the kind of man he was. He had to make some hard, hard choices and decisions. But he made those choices based upon truth and principle, regardless of what it cost him personally. All great men do that. That's why our forefathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. Because it was for something bigger than themselves. More important than themselves. No matter what the consequences were for themselves. And by the way, out of the 56 that signed the Declaration of Independence, that's exactly what they gave. It cost them their fortunes. Some of them it cost them their lives. And some of them it cost them their honor. Yes, it did. They meant it. They had a purpose. They had something greater to live by. And see, that's why that I see the situation now as hopeless unless there's a moving and awakening of God's people. Unless people start responding to the Spirit of God and the truth, there ain't no hope. Because it's every man for himself. Everybody's greedy and it's all that matters is for themselves. They couldn't care less about the children, the grandchildren, the future. They do not care. And they are absolutely not willing to give anything of themselves. They're not willing to risk anything of themselves for anything. There ain't many that are, I don't know where any's at, that's willing to step up. And that's what it takes. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take some men. And we're missing them. They're gone. We don't have them. And we can't seem to arouse this young generation into awakening. And I look back through history and that's pretty much the way it happened. When it gets to that place, you're destroyed. You come to an end as a people. You're done. That's it. Sometimes it comes down to one man. In fact, it does quite often. It comes down to one man. God found a man. He found a Gideon. Yep, he did. He found them at different other times. He found a man, Jephthah. And there were enough that weren't so far gone that when a man stood up, they stood up with him. That's the thing about David. David was a man. I mean, he was Mark the perfect man, Mark David. He was what a man should be. And David had men that followed him too. Yes, sir. He had 30 mighty men, the Bible calls them. Like Uriah the Hittite. They were so loyal, so committed, so honorable, with such integrity that he wouldn't even, he wouldn't even go stay with his wife. While the rest of the men were out there. He couldn't do that while the rest of it, all the men of Israel out there on the battlefield, me home with my wife, no way. I can't do that. That's being ruled by something bigger than yourself. That's putting your own self below what's really important. He's ruled by principle. He can speak when something needs to be said. And he can hold his peace when it's the best thing to do. He's under control. He can hide when it's time to hide and fight when it's time to fight. Yeah. It ain't always the time to fight. He's under control of something greater than himself. I just gave a hammer because it is so all important. Every other virtue of manhood depends on this. Yes, sir. That's what I'm going to get to when we get done here. But he's motivated by a cause greater than his own selfish lust and interest. And it's the basic mark of a man upon which all the other attributes of manhood depend. Let me just name a few of them real quick. We'll go through them here. It's 10 minutes till we got time. Courage. It's one of the attributes of a man. Courage. Now, true courage is not about being without fear. I guarantee you that the men that charged off of the boats on Normandy were scared to death. I don't think there's ever been a man in battle that wasn't scared to death. Yes. But courage is not the absence of fear. That's not what courage is. It's the attribute of a man. It's not about being without fear, but it's being confident in the one holding the reins of your life. That's what courage is. Courage is just... Well, let me just read what I've written down here because I mix it all up. He can face the storm with courage and resolve because he's not facing it alone and in his own power. That's what courage is. Mentioned Robert E. Lee, but Stonewall Jackson, that was his thing. You know, he believed that he was doing the will of God. Everybody laughs. He was on the Confederate side. Yeah. Yeah, he loved the black people. He taught them in Sunday school, taught them to read and write. All that before the Civil War ever started. Robert E. Lee never owned slaves. Ulysses S. Grant did until 1870. How about that? It's not like you learn in school. No, it ain't. And it's all written down. It's recorded. All you got to do is look. It's on the records. But Stonewall Jackson believed that he was fighting for a righteous cause and that he was in the will of God and therefore invincible. That's what made him, that's why they called him Stonewall. He'd ride right out into the middle of the battle on his horse amid the cannonballs and the bullets, and they said nobody can kill him. Well, they did kill him eventually, but you know, that was courage. That's what I'm trying to point out to you. It wasn't fearlessness, it's just courage. What's courage based upon? The fact that you're not in control of your life. God is. And when you get that in your soul, really deep down and rooted in your soul, you can face anything. Courage is what it takes to do what must be done, regardless of the consequences. When the cause that the man exists for is greater than himself. Courage is that element, that attribute that makes you able to do what you got to do. It's what makes men be able to charge into battle. Yes, sir. That's what does it. You got to be fighting for something more than yourself. Even the godless people of the world know that. That's why they pump them up. And the Japanese fought for the emperor. They fought for the kingdom, you know. The fatherland. The Germans fought for the Fuhrer. The fatherland. They had to have something besides themselves. We ain't going out here to kill these people. Kill as many as you can. No, we're fighting for something. There's a cause. There's something that's bigger than all of us that we got to fight for and we got to defend. It's what gives courage. So courage is a manly attribute that stems from being governed by a higher cause than one's own self. Y'all understand that? Do you believe that? I know that's right. I'm telling you the truth. Doesn't take away fear. It's confidence in fear. Strength. Strength is not simply physical strength. Mark the perfect man. You'll see him under control. You'll see him with courage. You'll see him be able to face things that you don't know how in the world you could ever do. You'll see strength in a perfect man. You'll see strength. They paint all these pictures of Jesus. Paint him up as a feminine, limp-wristed looking thing, long hair. You know, what a abomination. If there ever was a perfect man on this earth, it was Jesus Christ. He was a man. He could hold the little children on his lap and say, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." He could look over Jerusalem and weep. He could look at the multitude and have compassion on them. And he wouldn't send them away hungry. He cared for people. But he could take a whip and clear the temple too. He went in there and turned all over their tables, and I mean put them out of there roughshod, buddy. Some of them left with the blood running and the bruises on their back. Yep. And not only that, but he could take it too. They beat him to a pulp. And he didn't speak a word. He didn't cry out. Strength is not simply physical strength. That's available everywhere. A horse is stronger than a man. You know, there's a lot of men that are just brute physical strength. That don't make them a man. Man, listen. The little guy that's a man will get the big guy every time in the end. Yes, sir. That's what makes a man. Strength that's not just in the physical. Strength that's somewhere where you can't see it. That only shows itself when the need arises. That don't go around boasting itself, blowing itself up, advertising itself. Strength that's there when it's needed. Otherwise, you know, you probably won't even know it's there. Have you ever been amazed at some people in their physical strength? Yeah. I've seen some big old bruiser guys that couldn't do nothing. I mean, they're as weak as they could be. And I've seen some little old scrawny guys that was, man, I mean, as stout as a bull. Yeah. You remember old Lewis? That little old guy? Little old short guy? He'd carry two bundles, sometimes three. Three bundles of shingles up a ladder and onto the roof. Yeah, at a time. Three at a time. On his shoulder. The little old scar. You know. And then I've seen great old big guys weigh 300 or 400 pounds. And, you know, look, you'd think they're as stout as a bull. And they ain't. It embarrasses them real bad when they get outdone by a little guy. Strength. It's not always there where you can see it. But on the man, Mark, the perfect man, mark it. Watch him. Watch him for a while. And you'll find out there's something there. The kind of strength that's the mark of true manhood is found in the resolve of the soul to do what's right in the view of what governs your life. Never confuse stubbornness, which is based in selfishness and pride, with true strength, which is based in resolve to do what's been declared to be truth and duty by the one who rules your life. You understand what I'm saying to you? Don't mistake stubbornness. The Bible says that is as the sin of behold, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness is like the sin of iniquity and idolatry. Being stubborn. That ain't strong. That ain't strength. Stubbornness is not strength. Strength is based in the truth and what's right. It's based in something outside of yourself. Stubbornness is based in your own selfishness and pride. Don't get them confused. Don't get them confused if you're the man. Don't get them confused if it's somebody you're watching. Neither the man himself or those who are observing should confuse these two. Strength based in resolve is provided by the governor of the man. You understand me? When I am weak, then am I strong. God said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." That's the way it works. You're going to make a big mistake judging men by their physical appearance. You're going to make a big mistake in judgment when you start judging men by what they've accomplished in earthly matters and what they've heaped to themselves and all of that. You better look beyond that. You're going to You're going to make a big mistake in judgment, and it's going to cost you dearly when you put all of your confidence in a man because of his physical strength, his intellectual ability, or the way his big mouth talks about himself. Y'all got that? Theodore Roosevelt said, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." That's manhood there. That's the essence of what I'm talking about here this morning. Strength, it's not something that's apparent. You see it when the chips are down. That's when you see the strength of men, real men. Because it doesn't come from within them. They get it from somewhere else. Paul said, Lord, if you just take this away from me, I could do better. This is a hindering me. Lord, please. 3 times. And the Lord said, No. It's better. You can do more like this with this hindrance. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness. See? God can use a little man that everybody thinks is weak. Man, I can show you all kinds. I've read stories about the past, and some of these great preachers in the past, I mean, 100-some years ago, they said God called them to preach, and they went off to the seminary, and they said, after a little while, they told them, said, "You need to go home and think about something else." I said, "You ain't no preacher. You just can't do it. You ain't got the abilities." I know missionaries that went to the field and accomplished great things, and they were rejected by the ones at first because they didn't see these smart people didn't see in this weak person what God saw in them. You know, William Booth that started the Salvation Army, I believe it was him and his wife, they went and wanted to be missionaries, and the church turned them down, wouldn't help them. Said they're too old, they just didn't have the ability to do it. And anyway, that's what happened. They started the Salvation Army. Yeah. I've known stories and stories and stories like that. See, men judge according to the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And that heart that's committed to God, yielded to God, under the control of God, is going to outdo the mighty man in this world every time. Because he's going to have strength from God himself. Now, strength is based in resolve provided by the governor of the man. That's what it is. As long as a man is committed to do the will of God, he's unstoppable by any earthly or devilish powers. You hear what I'm saying? He'll find strength to endure and to press on that's not within himself. I know that's a fact. I know it is. From my own experience, I know that. When you run out of strength, if you are committed to do the will of God, strength will be provided for you. Just like Elijah at the brook. Yes, sir. He'll be there. And just in the nick of time, He just infuses something into you that is strength. How in the world can I explain it any better than that? You know what it is? When you're just about to die. And I mean, you're fading out. And all of a sudden, something is put in you that just brings you back to life and gives you your strength back. You ever been real sick? And they give you some medicine or something to pick you up, and boy, it just brings you right out of it. Sort of like that. It's not within yourself. See, my point is strength is not of our own doing. Other than yielding to the one who gives the strength. That's the perfect man. Mark, the perfect man. His strength is not in his powers of his own. Whether it's in his powers of speech. You know, they talk about eloquent speakers. Well, that's wonderful. That's just real wonderful to be an eloquent speaker. But if that's all you got going for you, it ain't much. And it ain't nothing for everybody to hang their hat on. If he's just a big, strong dude, big deal. I mean, that's fine. Everybody smile and give him a hand and all of that. But that ain't. You better not put your trust in him. These blowhards, these political candidates and everything, they're such blowhards. I mean, I'm telling you, people are fools if you trust in a big mouth blowhard. who can't do nothing but brag about himself. I'm Mark, the perfect man. Mark, the perfect man. Use it in all areas of your life. It'll help you so much. The longer I live, said this man, the more I am certain that the great difference between men, between the feeble and the powerful, the great and the insignificant, is energy, invincible determination, a purpose once fixed, and then death or victory. That's what makes it, man. That is what makes it, I'm telling you. That quality will do anything that can be done in this world. And when no talents, no circumstances, no opportunities will make a two-legged creature a man without it. Sir Thomas Fole Buxton, I think, said that. Do you get it? That's a man who has a purpose. What is your purpose? Boys, what is your purpose? What are you going to do? What are you here for? What are you going to do with your life? Well, just wait and see. We'll just see what happens. Ain't nothing going to happen. Except just, you're just going to wipe out. You got to get a purpose. What did this just say? A purpose once fixed. You want to be a man? And you think a man is just somebody that can think a basketball or can lift a weight or whatever. A million other things. No, a man has a purpose. Mark of a man. He has a purpose. Something that controls him. A reason. A direction. I don't mean he has to be a hero. I don't mean he has to accomplish great things with his life. That shouldn't be the goal. I ain't telling you here this morning to get some goal like, I'm going to conquer the world. I'm going to be a great man. I'm going to do great things. No! Get a purpose. What's going to guide your life? Your lust? Are you going to live through life just chasing one thing after another? Or one girl after another? Is that what you're going to do? You won't if you have any kind of purpose. And you ain't worth nothing if you don't have that. You are not a man. Do you hear me? You can't always be a hero, but you can always be a man. What's the basic thing? You got a purpose, man. You got a purpose. You know what life is supposed to be about. And you know right and wrong. And it's not because of what you think and what you decide. You got somebody else telling you, guiding you, right here. You ain't got many choices, do you? God or yourself. That's your choice. Or you can follow some other fool of the world that thinks he's God. You can do that. But you'll just be after one and then another, because they come and they go. They come and they go. You know how many people I've seen in my lifetime? Big celebrities and gone. Big celebrity and gone. Everybody talks about him. Everybody dresses like him. Everybody imitates him. Everybody thinks he's wonderful. He's gone, gone, gone. How many of them you think I've seen? Foolish to follow such junk. Yeah. There were giants in the earth in those days. Remember that? Celebrities. All right, let me hurry up here. Okay, I'm going to hurry. Integrity. Man told me one time, an old man told me this, and boy, it's right. And he was telling me what somebody else had told him. He said, my dad told me. He said, if a man's word is no good, the man is no good. He said, if a man's word is no good, that man is no good. If a man is governed by truth, then he'll speak the truth. Yes, sir. He won't fudge on it. He won't deviate from a straight line like Robert E. Lee put it there a while ago. He'll stay straight. If he is reined and guided by the truth, he'll speak the truth. If he's governed by his own foolish heart, he won't be reliable in his words or in his action. He'll be an unfaithful man who's like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. You can't depend on him. Can't trust him. Can't count on him for nothing. Truth makes a man. It's integrity. Dependable. Faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That you ought to be able to depend on what he says, that it is the absolute truth. Gentleness. A man, mark the perfect man, you'll see integrity, you'll see gentleness. What is this word? Gentleman. Gentle man. Mm-hmm. He knows how to treat people without force. Y'all listening to me? Forceful words, forceful actions. He knows how to deal with people without that. And he prefers to accomplish things and influence people and solve problems without using force. See, people got this idea, and they get it from carnal, ungodly men. Men are stronger physically than women. Now, you can march out any old big old heifer you want to and say, see, you're not right. I am right in this. She's the weaker vessel. The Bible says so. Men and women, across the board, if it comes right down to it, the men are going to rule the women. They're going to do it by force because they can. And that's the way ungodly men live their lives. They force upon women, children, upon anybody that's weaker than them, they force them. That's the way they live their life. Bullies. Yeah. Mark the perfect man, he's no bully. You won't see his strength unless it's necessary. He's a gentle man. He's strong and yet gentle. Numbers 12, verse 3 said, now Moses, the man Moses, was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Meekness, here's what the dictionary says. It means mild of temper, soft. Can you think about a man being soft? Gentle? Not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. He don't just fly off. He don't just strike back like a snake at you. Gentlemen, gentle. Mark the perfect man. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Who said that? Jesus. Appropriately humble, submissive to the divine will, not proud, self-sufficient, none of that. That's the dictionary. It says that about meekness. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth, meeker than all the other men on the earth. So a man should be gentle. That ought to be the mark of a man. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew chapter 5. Meekness is strength under control. That's what meekness is. Do anybody here think Moses was a weak man? I don't think so. When he was young, he saw the two striving and he went out there and he killed the one that was doing wrong. Right. Moses was not a weak man. Meekness is strength under control, and you'll see that in a perfect man. Mark that's a mark of a man. Gentleness. Y'all listening to me? Integrity, courage, strength, being governed. All these depend on being governed. He's well balanced in everything. Now, King David was a man who could play a harp and calm a mad king. And with the same hands, he could kill a giant and cut his head off with his own sword. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. I mean, he climbed up on old Goliath and got his sword and cut his head off. And drug it all around. When he come back into Jerusalem, he was still dragging that head. You ever read that? He wouldn't turn loose of it. It's mine. That's a well-balanced man. All the armies of Israel are standing there saying, what in the world is this little boy out here? Now, we're all scared of this giant. We can't do nothing about it. What's he going to do? And even Goliath said, what is this? A dog? You coming after me like a dead dog? No. There was strength there that nobody knew about. David could do that. Then he could go write a psalm about, oh, how I love the Lord. Oh, how I love thy law. And, on and on. David could fight when he needed to fight, and he could yield when he needed to yield. There was times when David just said no. When Absalom wanted to take over the kingdom, David said, no, I ain't fighting over this. If this is the way God wants it, then if God wants me to be the king, he'll have to do it. He didn't fight Saul for the throne. He didn't fight his own son for the throne. But the Philistines come, they're going to find a sword in their face. Yeah. He could give orders and he could take orders. But he learned to take orders before he learned to give orders. Y'all hear me? That's the order of it. He could weep when there was something to weep about. And he could rejoice when there was something to rejoice about. He sat down there at Ziklag and wept until they exceeded. They couldn't weep anymore. He came into Jerusalem dancing over the ark. And his wife mocked him and made fun of him. Didn't make no difference to him. Said, you think that was something? You just wait till you see what I'm going to do. He hates evil. Mark this man. He hates evil and he loves good. In Ezekiel chapter 9, I've read this verse to you a lot of times, but the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations done in the midst thereof. And then when he said, to go and destroy, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near upon any man upon whom is the mark. I'm telling you this morning, I'm talking to you about the marks of a man. What was the mark of the man that the Lord was looking for? He was looking for the men who were sighing and crying for the abominations that were being done in the land. And he put a mark on them. And he said, go kill everything, everybody, but don't touch the men that have the mark on them. So the mark of a man is that he hates evil. And he loves righteousness. You can mark a man that way. You ain't looking at a man if you're looking at an immoral, ungodly, filthy mouthed, you know, skirt chasing dog, hound dog. You ain't looking at a man. You're looking at a degraded version of what God meant for a man to be. You hear me? A real man, mark it. He loves righteousness. He'll fight for righteousness. He'll stand for it. He'll show some strength when it comes to righteousness. He'll show some strength when it comes to wickedness, too. He'll say, this is going to stop. And it is not going to happen. If we had some men, this thing would turn around. But we ain't got any. So it ain't going to turn around. You can't say no to your own selfish lusts. You can't say no to anybody else. You can't say no to wickedness in yourself. You ain't got no right to stand up and tell everybody else to stop. We don't need to reinvent manliness. You know, we don't need promise keepers. And we don't need all this other stuff. Oath keepers. What is that other one? Oath keepers. And all these things that have come along through the years. This makes me sick, really. A bunch of men gather together and hug one another and act like a bunch of women. And they're restoring manhood. And all they're trying to reinvent it and redefine it and everything else. That ain't the way men act. And that ain't going to do no good. And they've all fell by the wayside, obviously. Just a bunch of fluff and feminine junk. Men, we don't need to reinvent manliness. We only need to will ourselves to wake up from the bad dream of the last few generations and reclaim it. In order to extend and enrich that tradition under the formidable demands of the present. That's a quote. We got things that are demanding right now. We need men. And we don't need a new definition of what a man is. We need the same old definition from the very beginning. I've talked to you about there ain't no men, they're gone. I've talked to you about what is a man. And what is a man? He's a man that's got a place and he's got a purpose. And God, and he's got a God. And I've talked to you this morning about marks of a man. I mean, I'm trying to explain to you and get you to see what a man is. What God meant for a man to be. We ain't got any. We need some. Where are they going to come from? Ain't going to come from nowhere unless they come from places like this right here. And I know for a fact, and it ain't me, I'm just saying, and I ain't bragging about me, I'm just saying this is the truth that is not being preached out there. You're not going to hear this. I dare you. Go out there and show me somebody else. I'll rejoice about it if somebody else is saying these things. But I don't know where it is. They're not looking as deep. They're not looking deep enough as what we're doing here. So one cannot always be a hero, but you can always be a man. You don't have to accomplish great things. That's not the measure of a man. What is the measure of a man? You ought to be able to be getting the idea by now. Let's stand. Let's stand real quick. But it does no good. We can say all this. It's just like I said at the beginning. Everybody says, yeah, that's right. That's true. That's right. Nobody does nothing about it. We ain't accomplished nothing, have we? All we've done is just set the record for eternity. When the books are opened up there, it's going to be brought out, you were told. You heard it. Man, I've thought about that a lot. Not only on this subject, but on every other subject. Salvation, everything else. Righteousness, all these things that are such issues with people. There's people who won't come to church here just because of certain convictions that we have. That's it. That's all. They believe everything we say, but boy, I just couldn't do that. You know. Yeah. And it's mainly women who think if they come here, they got to dress different. So, and who's telling them that? Huh? But if they come here and they hear the truth, they're going to feel bad. That's the problem, see? So, why do people run from the truth? Oh, yeah. We can just go on and on. But what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You boys listening to me this morning? You hear anything? What are you going to do about it? I pray you will do something about it. I never know. You never know. Here's what I've found out. I look at you know, some of the ones I've looked at in the past, and I just wanted to slap them. Say, man, you ignorant little thing. What's the matter with you? Ain't you got no sense? Why don't you listen? They were listening, and I didn't even know it. God got a hold of them. Some of the others that were so attentive and so into it, gone long ago. So I don't know. I don't know what we got. I don't know what we got here. But I'm just praying we got some men in waiting. Men in the making. I hope so. I sure can't see it, but that's just me. I know God can do things that I can't see. He's done it all my life. I found that to be true. Listen to God this morning, boys. And you girls, you better, you know, it's part of, you know, you're going to be the making or the destruction of a man too. And you better be listening yourself. You girls and you women need to know what a man is also and what a man's supposed to be and what God wants a man to be. And your reason for being here is to help him be that man, amen. Not tear him down and fight him every step of the way. Amen. Let's bow. Father, thank you for your word. And, oh Lord, I pray. Pray to do some good. Somewhere, somebody would listen. And not just listen and say, oh yeah, and go on. But it would stop them in their tracks. And it'd be the changing point in their life when they decide they're going to be a man and not a fool and not something else that's a cheap imitation of a man. But be a man like God created man to be. One who will follow Jesus and be a man like he was. And who will have the Spirit of God leading him and the Word of God as his guide. Lord, help us, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.